Χριστός ανέστη εκ νεκρών, θανάτου θάνατον πατήσει και τη μνήμη ζωή χαρισάμενο. Αναστάσου Ιησούς από το τάφο, καθώς προείπεν έδω και ημί την αιώνα ζωή και το μέγα έλεος. Good evening, everyone. So this is the third synaxy about Nipsi. And as we said, God willing, these gatherings there will be every fortnight. And we try to make them available to everyone as well by recording them. And we see what happens in the future. Okay, do we have any questions for whatever we've been through so far? No? All right, so we will continue. As we said, when you have a question, don't wait for me to... I will be asking you as well if you have questions, but don't wait for me to finish a paragraph or something. Just interrupt me so we can understand things better instead of just keep going. So Γέροντας Εμιλιανός continues with analyzing the talk about vigilance, and he says that the thought, the logismos, is very quick and can run away, but if we want, we can make him still with our willpower. We can tie him up with our willpower, and this can happen with our askese, and slowly we get to the result that we want to get to. We will just we will make a start, and then God will be the one who will fulfill the whole thing. It's not us doing it. It's not our problem that our thoughts move so fast. This is a thought from the evil spirit, that if our thoughts, they run too fast, we cannot control them. And the demon wants to present things as if they are very difficult and unachievable, but this is not the case. So we will do the vigilance, the nipsi, the watchfulness, as much as we can, but we also have to be careful what we talk about with others and what discussions we have in our own mind as well. So if someone comes along and starts telling us things that they are not appropriate, we need to be able to somehow either divert the conversation or just move on with what we have to do without falling into gossiping or idle talk or even just talking about others without a reason. Of course, this doesn't mean that we will not be social, but we have to be careful when we talk with others. We can joke around, we can be happy, we can be pleasant, but we cannot talk about third persons that they're not present, and especially saying bad things about people that they're not present, because that's gossiping, and that's not right. That's a sin. Another thing that Γέροντας Εμιλιανός says is that when, let's say that we're parents and we have a child, and the mother and the father, they are very worried that something might happen to him or her, the child, and they're so worried that if they find out that he did something wrong, they will beat him up and talk to him in a bad way. Then the kid, even if he had done something wrong, he will not be happy with this behavior. He will go back and do worse things. But he has to understand, we have to understand that if we force him to be afraid to sin because there will be consequences from us, then he will go directly to do something bad. So violence can never end up in something good. We need to tell our children what's right and what's wrong, but we need to also teach them what God is. And we need to talk to them from the fullness of our heart. And if our conscience is clean, and if there is joy in our hearts, then God will dwell in their hearts as well. He might be swearing, he might be sinning, but the sperms of God inside him, they will be so strong that new springs will come out, new plants, and the new plants, they will be bigger and they will give him life. It will be the plants of repentance, and it will develop spiritually. So we need to let our children free because we respect them. So we tell them the truth, we tell them what our heart has, and then one day, even if they have fallen, they will understand that they have to go back to their parents' house, and this is how they will be resurrected. We know from the example of Job in the Old Testament, who lost everything, that regardless that he lost everything, through God, he ended up have greater blessings. And we know about Moses, the Ethiopian. He was a criminal, he was a murderer, he was a robber, but at the end of the day, he changed his life, he became a new man, and he became a saint. So we can understand that even if someone has a problem, let's say with anger, if he diverts all his anger and all this tension that's inside him towards God's love and peace, then if he diverts all his energy towards Jesus' prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon me, a sinner, then he will succeed, because God has given us all the things that we have. And this anger, it's a lot of strength that we have inside us, a lot of power. And if we direct it the right way, it will end up in good results spiritually. In our everyday life, nipsis, vigilance, is like trying to keep our thoughts, we could say, we could use the word, try to freeze our thoughts. This means that we will not let our thoughts go here and there, but we will be in charge of them, and we will make them stand still. We think that it's impossible to keep our thoughts still, but after practice, it can happen. The same way someone stands up and stands still to see his enemy and defend himself, the same way we can make our thoughts stand in the door of our heart, when all the thoughts, the evil and the good ones, they come in and they go out from. Now, Yerda says something interesting. He says that our desires and our will, what we want to do, they do not attack us as desires or as ideas, but as thoughts. So everything starts from a thought. A thought comes and then the desire develops. So if we can take care of this first thought, then the desires, they will not develop. He also says that it's like when we don't want all these thoughts, eventually they will go away and the desires, they will faint, they will wither. But we might be responsible if we talk with the thoughts and we cultivate them, because then they will keep coming back. Anything so far?
How do you do that on a practical level? How do you freeze the thoughts?
How do you freeze a thought?
You just recognize that it's there.
No, you don't freeze the thought. You freeze where your position, you freeze where you're standing. So let's say that you find the point of concentration when you pray, and you find something that helps you focus when you pray. You stay there. So this is like you're frozen there. And then this prayer, it could be Jesus' prayer, could be something else. You stay there and nothing can come in or out from your thoughts. So basically it's like everything stops. The circulation of the thoughts stops. So you cannot be attacked if you stand in the door and you don't let anyone in or out. It's all theoretical, but once you get a little bit of practice, then you understand what it is. Another way of blocking the thoughts out is if you keep your mind occupied, let's use again the word frozen, with something which is precious for you spiritually. For example, God has given you to experience something. It could have been something simple like feeling a lot of love for the church or for people that they are poor if you're doing charity work. Or it could be something like you had a spiritual experience and you remember this that you have experienced. If you cultivate this thought by remembering it, this will keep your mind occupied and then nothing can come in and out again. But if you have a spiritual experience and you think about it, it has another advantage as well, because God is everywhere, right? Even if we understand Him or not. But if we have experienced Him and we recall this experience, is like we reactivate the energy of this experience and we make Him present again. It's like we force Him to be present again. So let's say that once you go for Holy Communion, for example, and you feel like you truly received Christ, you can't explain, it doesn't make any sense, but you felt this, right? If you were to think about this during your hard times, and even all the time if you can, this is like carrying Christ in your life during the day, or during while you do your job, while you're cooking. And this is how, if you go to pray, you can help your prayer start by remembering something precious that you have experienced. And your prayer can start from there, and then it moves on. So the thoughts, is there anything else before we move on? Okay. The thoughts, they are like robbers, and we need to be careful and be vigilant and see what they are trying to do or say to us. Once we're standing in the gate of our heart, as we said before, then we can see them trying to get in and out, and that's where we should have our focus, where the thoughts that go in and out. By using the prayer, it's like we block their way of going in and out. So if we're not careful of these criminals, the thoughts, they can kill us, and they can steal away the treasure of Nipsi that we have. That's why we shouldn't just have a look what they're trying to do. We should also understand if they're trying to get in or out. And when we get attacked sometimes, we can more or less understand that this thought has a specific intention, and you can tell. For example, someone comes to you, you're in a monastery. He talks about examples from the monastery because this synaxy was amongst monastics, that's why. Otherwise, the example could have been anything. So you're sitting in your monastery, and the thought comes and tells you, why don't you go to the desert to be by yourself, to be able to communicate with God better, and to be a great ascetic like Saint Joseph the Hesychast, and this and that. And the thought also tells you, no one loves you here, so just go to the desert and you will be more spiritual. But this is an evil thought, and you can understand where it will end up. It will end up throwing you out of the monastery. It's the same within a family. You're married, and you have a husband, you have a wife, and the thought might tell you, how about if I go out with some friends without the wife, and then these friends, they might bring some other friends of the opposite sex, and then the one thing brings the other, and then phone calls, and then this, and then that, and basically this thought can throw you out of your family. It's the same thing. So that's why we need to be careful of these thoughts and understand where they are leading up to. The ascetics, they talk about protonia. Protonia from protos and nous. So this means the first thought. So once we wake up, they tell us we have to give our protonia, our first thought, to God. And this is very important, because once we wake up in the morning, if our thoughts don't go directly to God and they go to our mobile or they go to emails or worries and other things, then even if we try to pray after, before going to work or before having our breakfast, it won't be as easy. But if our thought goes directly to God without distraction, this protonia, this first thought, if it's dedicated to God, then it's easier for us to pray. And from this, if we don't be careful with this protonia, with the first thought, and something else enter, one thought brings the other, the next one, you will see that you will start from an apple and you will end up in a swimming pool. You end up somewhere totally different, totally far away and irrelevant to God. And then if you want to pray, you just wasted all this effort, and then you have to try and get your mind back, and it's not always as easy as if you just try to dedicate your first thought to God. So all our struggle, in reality, it's a struggle against the thoughts. That's why the ascetics, they call everything logismo. So I have one logismo, I have one thought. This means that this word logismos, the thoughts, they have so much power that from them anything can happen to us. Behind the thoughts, there is hidden either the tempter or our passions, depending where the thought comes from. Depends if it comes from our intellect or from our willpower or from our thimiko, which is the strength that we have inside us to do things. And then when we want to reject the responsibility, like when we don't want to accept our responsibility about the thought, we will say that the tempter gave me this thought. But sometimes it's not the tempter that gives us the thought, but it's ourselves that we want to think about something, so we accept the thought and we cultivate it. The thoughts, in a way, they are like the legs of our intellect, and they can go, they can lead our intellect wherever they want. So we need to understand that our intellect is one thing and the thoughts is another. And once we are in control of our thoughts, our intellect will follow, because the body follows the legs. The thoughts, they might be strong and they might be able to run fast, but this should not make us despair, because we can be in charge of our legs and we can tell them where to go. And if we tell them to go and follow the cliff, they will. But if we know that we will kill ourselves, we simply won't do it. So, for example, I'm a carpenter and I'm creating a table. And the tempter comes and gives me the idea to make it nicer by engraving something which is like a face on the surface of the table. Another example, someone goes and sees your spiritual father. You have a common spiritual father. He goes and sees and talks to your spiritual father, and then he comes and tells you to go and see him as well. And then the thought tells you, what did this person say to Yerida against me? It's like we think that someone accused us of something to Yerida. This is a thought, and this is from the tempter, and we have to be aware of these things. So on the first occasion with the table, we will just waste our time if we do extra things that are not necessary, like the engraving that it was not supposed to happen, if it was not supposed to happen. With the second example, the thought will make us to turn against our fellow man who just told us to go and see Yeruda, and then we will have thoughts about Yeruda as well, if we believe that something happened behind our back. So without understanding it, with the help of the demon, we fall into the trap of the demonic energy, which is this thought that we end up accepting and cultivating. Anything so far?
You can just wake up in the morning and you have another good sleep, and you have a half sleep before you wake up. That can be really lost again.
You try your best once you are conscious to think about God. But when we're tired, it's more difficult. It is what it is. Like, we can only try. It's not always achievable. That's why the fathers of the church, they talk about two ways of praying. The one is that you can sit down to pray and your prayer might be going very easily. And the other way is that you will struggle to get your prayer to where it should go. But they're both equally prayer. So the one way is that I sit down to do Kubushkini and I find it very easy and my prayer runs. That's one way of doing it. The other way is that I sit down and I find it extremely difficult, but I push myself and I don't give up. And then eventually it will get to the point where it should be. Yeah, so it doesn't matter what happens. What matters is for us to keep doing what we have to do. So if in the previous example there was a period of time between knowing that we have to see our spiritual father and thinking about what he could have told to the other person, or the other person could have told him, and develop all these scenarios inside our mind, then when we will go to see our spiritual father, things will be worse, because we have already developed all these thoughts inside our mind. And this is how we get tricked from the devil. The devil, as soon as he sees that we give up Nipsi, he will give us some thoughts, and then he will also give us fantasies. And this imagination, this fantasy that we might develop, is what will lead us where we should not be in our thoughts and actions. So the devil plays with us with fantasies. Once we start talking with our thoughts, then the fantasy is like he puts colors in the pictures and makes it more attractive. Then it's like if we accept this fantasy and keep following them, it's like we we allow the tempter to work deeper inside us with the thoughts that he started before. Then he doesn't need to stick around because he did his job with the pictures, with the fantasy that he developed. He can go away and tempt other people, but the fantasy itself will continue developing and continue to talk to our thoughts and motivate our thoughts to cheat against our intellect. And then eventually we will end up doing something we were not supposed to do if we follow these fantasies, which is the pictures inside us drawn by the devil. Anything?
How does the tempter know our thoughts?
The tempter doesn't know our thoughts. And this is very important to know. Only the Holy Spirit knows our thoughts. And that's why if you go to a medium, because usually they've got the evil spirit, they're not holy people. But if you want to check that, you can trick them by saying a prayer, then having a specific thought which is yours and tell them to reveal you this thought. They won't be able to do it. They can't do it. But what they do is that the demons, they give you thoughts, they reveal the thoughts to them, and then you think, oh, they know what they're talking about. Or they can tell them about your past. The devil knows your past because he has thousands of years of being on earth. So he knows, and he moves so quickly from one place to the other. So they can tell you about your past. They can predict the future without being so, but by seeing what you were doing, what you're doing, they can tell you what you might do, and they might tell you that this is what you will do. But this is all tricks. It's not true knowledge.
So then the demons don't know if you're trying to practice nibsi?
They can see it from outside you, like depends if you try and stay focused or if you make it obvious, they can see it. But if it's something which is natural to you and you don't indicate anything, they will understand it. They might also understand it if they give you thoughts and you just don't cultivate them. They will see that you don't cultivate the thoughts.
Right.
Yeah. But it doesn't matter if they understand or not. We have to do what we have to do. It's better if we don't make it obvious, not for the demons, because even other people, they might think, what is this person doing? But we have to do what we can do to keep our mind as focused as possible. When we say focus, we don't mean that we squeeze our mind to stay there. We try little by little, and then it becomes more and more, and then it becomes more natural, and then we do something, we achieve something. Anything else?
Can we ask where this practice sits in context with psychology? In other words, if we go and speak with a therapist or a psychologist, they might ask us to tell them all about thoughts. Whereas if we're trying to practice vigilance, we may not be trying to give attention to specific thoughts.
Yes. Now, by saying your thoughts, you reveal to the psychologist what you suffer from. By rejecting your thoughts is you trying to develop yourself spiritually. They are two different things. So even if you go to your spiritual father, if there is a thought that keeps coming back, you have to confess it. Why? Because it shows that there is something inside you generating this. And this will give an indication of what your heart desires or what your heart suffers from. It's the same with the psychologist, but the psychologist, they just want every thought which shows what's inside us, but at the same time it might show what we are tempted with. But usually we are tempted with things that they can find, how can I put it, the devil knows what we're weak with, and he will give us thoughts associated to this weakness. So it makes sense to talk about our thoughts in this sort of way, because we will reveal to the psychologist what we suffer from. But then to cure ourselves, once we acknowledge, if we can acknowledge what we suffer from, is to ignore everything and just focus to God, and that's it. And I think some of the modern psychologists, they sort of touch the techniques that the Desert Fathers were using. It's interesting. They come from a totally different approach, but they talk for similar things, some of them, not all of them, but some of them.